If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Proverbs chapter number. Anybody want to guess? You know I hate to be predictable on Mother's Day, don't you? But Proverbs chapter number 31. And a lot of ladies, and I've heard them say this before, a lot of ladies groan when you go to Proverbs chapter 31 at any time, Mother's Day or otherwise, because Proverbs chapter 31 paints a picture of a virtuous woman that most ladies, in fact, I've never known a lady that really believes that she lives up to the Proverbs 31 woman. They all feel like when they read that passage or hear that passage being preached or taught, that they fall short in so many ways. But I also know that those of us who love you the most believe that you do measure up more than you think that you do. I don't think any of us are expecting perfection. I think all of us ought to strive for perfection, but I don't think any of us look at our moms and say, you're not anything close to that virtuous woman that's mentioned in Proverbs chapter 31. We've got a church full of virtuous, precious women, wives, mothers, daughters, and all of our lives have been richer, fuller, sweeter, and more blessed because of your presence in our lives. And I mean that in all sincerity. I have been blessed all of my life to be surrounded by good, godly, virtuous women who have loved with the love of Christ, and our lives have been impacted and enriched by them. But my wife does a good job chastising me. She said, "You need to quit preaching messages on Mother's Day to beat up mamas." I said, "All right, message taken." So I've tried not to do that anymore, because it, point well taken, this is your day, and we're not here to tell you where you're doing wrong, where you can improve. We'll save that for another day that ain't Mother's Day. But you can breathe a sigh of relief, because I'm not going to preach Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 through 31, which is the passage that it is actually an acrostic poem that deals with the attributes and virtues of a virtuous woman. Instead, we're going to look at the introduction to that. And I'm telling you, boy, I was struggling Friday. In fact, I sent Cindy a text message. I said, "You need to pray for me, because I don't have, a lot of times I know what I'm going to preach next Sunday on Monday. God puts it in my spirit, but I didn't have a clue. And I knew it was Mother's Day, and I knew that I wanted to preach a Mother's Day message, but everywhere that I went was a dead end, dead end, dead end, dead end. I felt no liberty. I started just pulling an old sermon out, because y'all don't remember what I preached last week, so I started just pulling one out from last year and preach it again. But I couldn't get any peace with that either. And so I just was struggling. And I'm like, okay, last resort, Mother's Day, Proverbs 31. And I started reading it, and I realized, you know, I never really paid a lot of attention to the introduction to the poem. And so rather than focus on verses 10 through 31 this morning, we're going to focus on the first 9 verses of Proverbs chapter 31. Let's read it together. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:1, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." There's only a few places in Proverbs where it talks about the teaching of the mother. Most often it talks about the words of the father. Verse 2, "The mother speaking, what, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy." May God add his blessing to the reading and preaching of his word. I'm going to give you a sermon title. This is clickbait, by the way. When Carl posts them online, I try to come up sometimes with a little bit of a catchy title, because when people read a catchy title, they want to know what that's about. What that's about. Let me go check that out. They do that to us all the time. We get drug into stuff because of a title on something. Here's the message title. Mama's Masa. Now, I ain't say Mama's messes. She's cleaned up a lot of ours. I didn't say Mama's master, because some of us think we are her master and we instruct her what to do. I said Mama's Masa. And here's where that came from. As I was studying this passage of Scripture, I was looking up some words. I love Strong's Concordance is my favorite Bible study tool. I look up words because sometimes looking up a word and understanding what that original word meant brings a little bit of clarity to a passage of Scripture. I looked up that word in the King James Version, where it says the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. I looked up the word prophecy, because sometimes prophecy in the Bible means a prediction of things in the future. Sometimes, most often, prophecy means something that is predicting the future. And I'm like, this doesn't sound like a prediction of the future. So I looked the word up, and it is the word that is pronounced Masa or Masaw. M-A-S-S-A-W is how it's pronounced in the Scripture. It's translated prophecy in our text, but the original Aramaic, I believe it was Aramaic word, is Masa or Masaw. And it was only translated twice in the King James Version as prophecy. 57 times in the King James Version, it is translated burden. And if you got a more modern translation, I looked at some of the modern translations, and instead of using the word prophecy, it used the word oracles. Oracles means a weighty message. So when I call this Mama's Masa, I mean that this was Mama's burden. This was Mama's weighty message that she's giving to her son. Now, I don't know who King Lemuel is. Nor do Bible scholars know who he is. There's not a king that we know of whose name was Lemuel. He could have been a king of another nation, but his name is not mentioned anywhere else in the Scripture. Some people believe that Solomon used the title for himself as a kind of writing as a, what they call him, a ghost writer. He's just inflecting another king's name in so that it doesn't take it for his own personal life for right reason. For a good reason, because if this was his mama's message to him, he didn't take his mama's advice. The word Lemuel means devoted to God. Some Bible scholars believe it was Solomon. Some Bible scholars believe it was Hezekiah. Others just believe that there might have been a king named Lemuel that Solomon had heard from, spoken to, and that this was recorded in the Proverbs in his order. It doesn't matter who he was. Because Mama's burden is Mama's burden. And I think the burden that Mama had for King Lemuel is the burden that all godly mothers have for their children. So just three quick points this morning. I know y'all got lunch to eat with your mamas and places to go, so I'm not going to keep you long. But three points from this passage of Scripture this morning. The first point is this. Mama's burden is be careful of the company that you keep. Be careful of the company that you keep. Now, if you read those first few verses over again, you'll see that Lemuel's mama was particularly concerned with his relationships with women, especially as the king. He said that, be careful, give not thy strength unto women, not woman, but women. Give not your strength unto women. She was particularly concerned about his relationships with women. And there may have been a good reason for that, because as a king, When you have a position, when you have power, when you have possessions, when you have authority, sometimes that role that you're in will attract the worst of the worst. And that's it, even if this is not about Solomon. All you got to do is take a look at Solomon's life. Solomon's life was led away from the plan of God because the Bible said he loved many strange women. In fact, you can look that up, and I'm going to read you a portion. In 1 Kings chapter 11, Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, who the children of Israel were not supposed to marry into, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, the Hittites, Of all the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And listen to this phrase, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his hearts after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, and did as did David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. So Solomon, one of Solomon's greatest downfalls in life was the company that he chose to keep, specifically the company of the wives that he called unto himself. Now, godly moms, here's what I see in this. And you say, preacher, you're reading a little bit into that. I am, and I'll admit that freely. This mama's concern is that her son would get involved with many strange women and that he would make a wreck out of his life. Solomon did that. Whether we're talking about him or not, he did that. He's the illustration in the Bible. But godly mamas are burdened by the potential for their children to get involved in relationships that will be harmful to them, harmful for their testimony. They are concerned about the peer pressure that comes along with cultivating relationships with the wrong kind of folks. We have to be careful about the company that we keep. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be a witness to the world. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but there was limitations to what Jesus did with sinners. Jesus had an influence on the people that he hung out with. The people that he hung out with did not have an influence on him. We have to be careful about the company that we keep. We have to be careful about the potential for harmful peer pressure and relationships that don't bring anything in the future but hardships in our life. So it matters the company we keep, whether we're talking about our friends or whether we're talking about our lovers, because the company that you keep can bring you up or it can tear you down. And it's been my experience, and I think if you look around, this is true. Sometimes in order to be popular, sometimes in order to be around folks that have possessions or popularity or whatever, you lower your standards so that you can fit in with them. You bring yourself down. Sometimes it's you trying to keep better company than what you've been keeping. You look at the ways of the world of judging people, and you gravitate towards them and you lower your standards so that you fit in with them. Other times you may have higher standards. Listen, I was raised in a good, godly home. I don't have any excuse for the life that I lived as a teenager and a young man. No excuse whatsoever. I saw nothing but godly examples from my parents. And I had every opportunity to do what was right. But when I started cultivating some friendships with some folks that was not raised like I was, whose moms and dads didn't care what they did, and who contributed in many ways to what they did, when I tried to begin to fit in with that crowd, they didn't build me up, they brought me down. Now let me hasten to say this. Nobody ever opened my mouth and poured anything in it. Nobody ever forced me to do anything that I didn't willfully. I can't blame it on them, and I'm not blaming it on them. But I'm here to tell you that the company that I kept made me want to fit in with them rather than standing out for Jesus. I began to follow a crowd of folks that did not represent the way that I was raised. And I think Lemuel's mama's she is concerned about the company that he keeps in his life, because that company has the capacity to build you up or to bring you down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says this, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." The New Living Translation says, "Don't be deceived, evil company corrupts good character." It's a good translation of that verse. And if you need something to solidify that, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. "I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators." Fornicators means anybody that's sexually immoral. "I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with people that are sexually immoral. Now, he qualified that. I'm not going to read the verses in between, but he qualified that by saying, you can't get away with the wicked. You can't get away from all of the wickedness that's in the world. And so he qualified that by saying, I'm not telling you that that there are not people in the world that you're going to run into that are going to be involved in all kinds of things. He was talking specifically about people that are in the church or that have a testimony of Christ who are engaged in any kind of immorality, sexually or otherwise. In verse 11, he said, now I have written unto you not to keep, he's expanding. He said, I wrote unto you in the past not to keep company with a fornicator. But now I'm writing to you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. No, with such a one not to eat. Paul is saying it's dangerous for Christians to hang out with the wrong folks, especially if those other folks call themselves Christians and they're living this kind of lifestyle. You'll lower your standards to fit in with theirs. They'll influence you in a negative way. In that same chapter, he said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. When you begin to let a little bit of corruption, a little bit of infection into your life, it has a negative effect on your whole life. It brings you down. So King Lemuel's mama saying, be careful about the company that you keep. I will tell you, if you got a godly mama, you can relieve a great burden on her and by pursuing godly relationships. And I can tell you, this ain't just for kids. Y'all can look around if you want to. He's talking to children this morning. No, I'm talking to all of us. Because here's the truth. The people that we hang out with on a regular basis matter. They're either going to help us build our relationship with Christ, or they're going to undermine it. They're either going to make us better, or they're going to drag us down to their level and make us worse. Be careful of the company you keep. Godly mamas want what God wants, and that is for you to have the kind of friends that'll help you be all that you can be and all that you should be. Bad company is dangerous. Be careful of the company you keep. Here's the second point. Be cognizant of the decisions that you make. Again, I'm inferring some stuff in here, but she said, be careful about drinking wine and strong drink. Because wine and strong drink clouds your judgment. It is not for kings to be drunkards. It is not for kings to engage themselves in a lifestyle where their judgment is being impaired. Now, in his role as a king, King Lemuel would make some choices and decisions in his own life that could have some horrible effects for the people that were under him. His choices and his decisions did not just affect him as the king, they affected those that served under him. They affected the nation over which he ruled. And so her desire, Lemuel's mama's desire, her burden was that he avoid choices that could create a hardship for himself or others by impairing his judgment and making him, causing him to make decisions that he was not fully cognizant and aware of the consequences that might follow those decisions. And so I just believe godly mamas are burdened for their children to make wise decisions. The kind of decisions that will help them is the kind of decisions they want them to make. The kind of decisions that won't be a hurt to other people, that's the kind of decisions that a godly mom wants us to make. Not an emotional decision, not a fleshly decision. Now, I know that we're talking about strong drink particular in that passage, but let me tell you something. Intemperance in any area can affect you in multiple areas. It ain't just alcohol and drugs that impair our judgment. Let me just illustrate it like this. Y'all ever just got jealous of what somebody else had and you went out and bought something because you wanted to measure up to what the Joneses had, and all of a sudden, a week down the road, you got buyer's remorse because you bought something you couldn't afford? You didn't weigh the consequences of your decision because you were pursuing a fleshly lust. Do you hear me? When we are intemperate, when we let our flesh direct us, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. And a lot of times, it's not it's us that's going to get in trouble. It's the family that's underneath us that trusts us for support. Anytime you make those kind of decisions where you're not cognizant of what you're doing, because you're pursuing fleshly lust, because you're drunk, because, listen, drunks don't make good decisions. I've got one of my best friends in high school serving consecutive 15-year sentence in Ludowice, in the federal prison because, or state prison, because he drove while he was drinking and killed two people in a head-on collision. His words to me were, that was probably the least drunk I have ever been in my life driving. But he had alcohol in his system when they had the collision. He woke up, didn't even know what happened. He lost his dad the day before. They had spent a week at his dad's bedside under hospice care. He was physically, emotionally drained, but he drank that day. And when he had that wreck, when he had that wreck, he said, I didn't know what happened until they were pulling me out of the car. They took his blood. They tested him. I went when he had his trial. Had he not made the choice to get in that car and drive home, had he not been impaired, he would not have made that kind of decision. He'd be a free man today. But it ain't just alcohol. It's any fleshly lust. Listen, we all know people that thought the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. They went chasing after the lust of their flesh. And they made a hasty decision that they regretted almost immediately thereafter. And then the consequential fallout occurred. And the rest of their life changed. And the rest of their children's life changed. Do you hear what I'm saying? King Lemuel's mama said, I want you to be fully aware of the decisions that you make, because the decisions that you make can hurt you for a long, long time and can hurt the people that are under you for a long, long time. So I don't want you to get your mind all muddled up with strong drink. And listen to me, I don't think any godly mother in here wants their children's mind to get all muddled up because they're chasing and pursuing the wrong kind of things. Because you make choices and decisions that have an impact in your life, not just in that moment, but for long term afterwards. So exercising self-control and discipline, thinking through the decisions that you make, weighing the consequences of those decisions before you actually make that decision. That's what Lemuel's mom wanted for him. Son, I just want your mind to be clear. I want your mind to be rational. I don't want you to be impaired. I don't want you to be emotional. I don't want you to be in a place where you will have a choice to make and make a choice that will affect you and your kingdom for the rest of your life. None of us need clouded judgment. All of us need to weigh our choices and consider the consequences. And if we keep feeding fleshly lust, all it'll do is corrupt our ability to make sound spiritual decisions in our life. Addictions of any kind affect not just the person that's addicted, but everybody that loves the person that's addicted. And I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohol. Y'all ever known anybody that's addicted to work? I remember a song. I've quoted it several times on Father's Day. Cats in the cradle and silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when. But we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then, son. Daddy's addicted to possessions. Daddy's addicted to big houses, big cars, big boats. Listen, that's the pursuit of a fleshly lust that'll rob a man from his family. So I'm talking about an addiction, a worldly addiction, a worldly passion that consumes us of any kind will cause us to make decisions that are not in our best interest and not in the best interest of those that we have authority over. Those that are connected to us, those that love us. And her last burden is this, I believe. She wanted him to be careful about the company that he kept. She wanted him to be fully cognizant of the decisions that he made. And she wanted him to be concerned for the well-being of others. You read the last part of that. And in fact, part of the reason that she didn't want him to be a drunkard is she said, because if you get that way, you're going to forget the law, you're going to pervert judgment, and the afflicted, those that are suffering, are going to suffer because of your poor decision making. But you look at the rest of that, and this is not negative. Those other two is, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But she closes her words of wisdom with a positive. Not a negative word, but a positive word. She said, open your mouth for those that can't open their mouths themselves. Open your mouth for the dumb, for those that can't speak. In the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction, open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Lemuel's mama was burdened for him because she wanted him to be a king that was known for his mercy, for his judgment, for his compassion, for his righteousness. Maybe she'd seen some other kings that had been... Y'all know that King Ahab was not that kind of king? Manasseh was not that kind of king? You go through the Old Testament, there's a lot of kings in there that did a lot of horrible things, and people suffered under their reign. In fact, some of the people suffered to the point that they actually organized themselves and had those kings assassinated because they were tired of living under that kind of injustice, that kind of king that didn't think about anybody else's but his own well-being. You remember Ahab and Jezebel, when they found the vineyard that they wanted, they did whatever it took to get it, including taking an innocent man's life. So here's King Lemuel's mom saying, I want you to be known as a person that is concerned not just about yourself, but a person that is concerned about the well-being of other people. She had maybe seen the awful effects of the power and authority that other kings had abused and misused, and the way that people suffered under them. And so her desire was that he not only looked out for himself, but that he also looked out for the less fortunate. I believe godly mamas want their children to be loved and respected for being good and for doing good. Now y'all tell me this. When somebody comes up to you and said, I want to tell you what a fine boy you raised, what a fine girl you raised, how polite, how kind, how respectful, how honest, how hardworking, does anything make you feel better? I'm going to tell you something. I've raised better kids than I was for my parents. I don't know how I did it, but it happened because my daddy always used to tell me, you're going to reap what you sow. It bypassed me. My poor little brother got some of it, but I didn't get none of it. Nothing thrills my soul anymore than for somebody to say, your son, your daughter, I appreciate who they are, what they stand for, how they've helped. You can't pat me on the back and make me feel any better about anything that I've ever done. Children are the crown of their parents. Grandchildren are jewels in that crown. But listen, when a child does well, it relieves the parent's burden. There ain't a mama in this world wants to see a mugshot of their child because they've committed some kind of crime against somebody else. They want to see their children taking a stand for righteousness, for fairness, for justice, for goodness, for kindness. And I want to just tell you, y'all know this. The world has enough self-centered, self-serving people. Amen? There's enough self-serving, self-centered people in the world who just bully and bulldoze over others without any fault whatsoever to their well-being. I know we're living in a culture right now where the whole bully concept has become a big deal. Bully's been around for a long time. It's never been good. You mamas hate when your kid gets bullied. And we ought to hate when any kid gets bullied. And we ought to want our kids to be the one that comes to the rescue of anybody that's getting bullied. King Lemuel's mama wanted him to be known as a king that cared about the well-being of other people, not just himself. So be that child, be that man, be that woman that causes your mom and your God to smile over the selflessness that you show the world. Be a blessing by being a blessing. Be a blessing by being a blessing to those that you can serve and those that you can help. Now, I'm just going to give a parting word to you mamas and you daddies that are here. I'm not going to leave daddies out of this because I think this is for all parents. And this is not a message that I preach to kids, by the way. You can make your mom and daddy proud when you're 50 years old. You can make your mama proud when you're an old man, if your mama's still living. Even if your mama ain't living, she can look over the balcony of heaven and say, there's my son, there's my daughter. We ought to be careful. We ought to have a burden like his mama had, that we don't keep company that's going to drag us down, that we are cognizant of the choices that we make, that they don't hurt us or hurt anybody else. And we ought to be concerned for the well-being of our son. I'm going to tell you, mamas and daddies, do you want that for your kids? Do you want all those three little simple points? But is that what you want for your children? I tell you, that's what I want for mine. It's what I've always wanted for mine. I remember a high school teacher one time. I hear her words so often. And it was just simple. One day, she called me to the side. I was in the eighth grade. Miss McKinnon was her name. She called me to the side. And she said, Keith, I made good grades in school, but my grades were beginning to slip. She said, I know your mom and your dad, and they're great people. And she said, I'm concerned about you and some of the activities that I see you engaged in and some of the people that you're hanging around. And she said, I want you to know that your parents want you to choose your friends wisely. You know what I told her? You need to mind your own business. Who my friends are ain't no concern to you. That's what I told her. You ain't got no business messing around in my life. You know all she wanted from me was the same thing my mom and daddy wanted from me, that I was careful of the company that I kept so I didn't get drugged down those highways and those pathways and cause me sorrow. I want those things for my kids. You want those things for your kids. So if you want that, you need to ask yourself what kind of example you're setting. Because I tell you, we need to be the example that we want our kids to follow. You need to be careful of the company that you keep. You need to be cognizant of the decisions that you make. You need to let your kids see you be concerned about the welfare and the well-being of others, not just your own. And you know this, and I know this, but that don't hurt to remind ourselves. We teach our kids more by the life we live than by the words that we speak. They pay more attention to what we do than what we say. Now, I'm done, but I've thought about, I don't know. Verse 10 through verse 31 is an acrostic poem. That's the way that it's written in the original. It may not seem like it to us, but in the original languages, that is written as a piece of poetry. And it's all in praise of a virtuous woman. Now, we don't know who wrote the last part of Proverbs chapter 31. It's not attributed to Lemuel. It's not attributed to his mom. Our Bible has chapters and verse numbers just to help us find our place in it. But it's surely not his mama talking anymore. I don't know who's talking, but I kind of like to think that maybe this was written by Lemuel as a song of praise for his mama. Maybe it was his own version of a Mother's Day card. I mean, it was personal. You can tell at the end. He said, many daughters have done virtually, but you excel them all. Maybe Lemuel wrote this as a poem of praise for his own mama on his own Mother's Day. And I'm sure his words probably made her feel good. But I can tell you what would have made him feel what would have made her feel better. And that is if he took her advice about being careful of the company that he kept, being cognizant of the decisions that he made, and being concerned about the well-being of others. That meant more to her than any poem that he could have ever written to her. Let's stand together as our musicians come. Lord, we are grateful for the influence of godly women in our lives. There's so many times when parents have, or when a dad has neglected his responsibility to be the leader of the home, there are so many times a wife, a mother, a strong woman steps in. There are churches, this church, I believe, has been sustained through the years because godly women stayed faithful. So, Lord, we honor. Your word tells us to give honor to whom honor is due. And so we honor our mothers here this morning. And I truly believe that the burden of every mama is the same burden that Lemuel's mama had for him. But the best thing we can do to honor our mamas and to honor you is to follow this wise counsel, these weighty words. And so I pray you'd help us to do that this morning. I don't know the hearts of those that are here. Yeah, I know this has not been an evangelistic message, but it's possible that somebody's on the wrong path right now. Somebody's making some decisions that are not sound. Somebody's involved in some relationships they need to just break away from. So you just work in our midst and convict us where we need to be convicted and draw us to yourself. And if there's one here that needs to be saved, they can get saved on Mother's Day. I remember Brother Johnny Walden being sorry and weeping and testifying many times that he wished his mom would have seen him serving the Lord like he was serving when I got here. I believe she knew. I told him that often, but today's a good day to be saved. Today's a good day for anybody to give their life to Christ. And this one thing I know, that your word teaches us that when one sinner comes to repentance, all of heaven rejoices about it. So I pray that you just work during this time of invitation and do whatever you want to do. We'll give you glory for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
What will it be like when my pain is gone? All the worries of this world just fade away. And what will it be like when you call my name? In that moment when I see you, loving to the place where you belong. And what will it be like when I hear that sound? All of heaven's angels crying out, singing, "Holy, to